Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 312, episode 3 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. Yeah. And it is Wednesday, November 8th.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. November 8th, 2023.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
11-8-23.
You know what that is? That means it's National Cappuccino Day. It's National Parents as Teachers Day, World Radiography Day, and National STEM Day. Let's see what let's dive deeper.
I feel like National Parents as Teachers Day is gonna throw up some red flags on, like, because you can't let them learn in school because they're gonna learn all that devil shit.
It's about parent teacher organizations. Parents as parent teacher organization.
I guess we need good people in them. So I'm gonna withdraw my objection.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's not trying to be like, yeah, I don't think it's to be like, hey man, you know what these teachers are telling your kids? Now show them a good book every night. The King James edition.
That's right. Or like one of those ads that's like, Dad, look it up. Or like, Daddy, look it up. Where like the dad's like playing I'm a Little Teapot. And people are like, you see? Like this, even this tough guy can do silly shit.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Well, my name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Can't you see it's not piss? I just really like ice. I just lied to get to how our Lambo. And then, of course, the chorus. Is this piss? Is this piss? Is this piss? That is courtesy of Lockeroni, The Strokes. I haven't heard that album in a long time. I listened to it this morning and still holds up. Those bass lines really jumping around on you.
Yeah.
I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Oh, it's Miles Gray, a.k.a. I lost my a.k.a. 1 second, because here it is. It's Miles Gray, a.k.a. I'm walking on erasers. Whoa. I'm walking on erasers. Whoa. And don't it feel weird? Shout out Steaming Chuck on Discord, obviously in reference to Jack saying Ron DeSantis in those high heel boots must be like walking on erasers.
Yeah, it looked like he was walking on chalkboard erasers for some reason. That was the vibe he was given. Yeah, just too smushy.
Too smushy.
We've all tried it, haven't we, folks? Walking on chalkboard erasers for some reason.
I actually feel like I have a memory of trying to do that for some reason.
Why do I have that memory? Doesn't make any sense, but that was a good one that I thought I had done last week, but now in retrospect, I don't think I did.
Did you?
And you nailed it. No, I think you nailed it right there.
And if I did, hey, it's called coming back around again. Anyway, shout out Steamin' Chuck.
Steamin' Chuck. Did I say who mine was? Lacroni. Anyways, yep. We are thrilled, Miles, to be joined in our third seat.
Yes.
By an actress, improviser, old friend, podcast host, who you've heard on Comedy Bang Bang, Spontanean Nation, and seen on shows like Fresh Off the Boat, New Girl, Brooklyn Nine-Nine. She co-hosts the new podcast, Keys to the Kingdom, which is an unprecedented look at the backstage life of Disneyland cast members. Mm-hmm. Please welcome to the show, Amanda Lund!
Amanda! Oh, thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
It's great to have you, old friend.
Thank you for the beautiful intro.
Yeah. Oh, thank you for, you know, doing all that stuff so we could introduce you with such enthusiasm.
Yes. Yeah, it all led me to this point.
That's right. And you are here.
I am here.
And how does this rank to like being on Brooklyn Nine-Nine and stuff like that? Like how being on this podcast has to be like, you know,
I mean,
it's a culmination, I would feel like.
It is. No, this is, I mean, I much prefer it because I get to be at home, which I love. I get to just have my little coffee and I'm just like sitting in my home office.
Yeah.
So comfortable.
Yeah. So many guitars.
Yeah.
Very
so
cool
many guitars.
Office.
Yeah,
you
I'm
entered
gonna play
the Zoom and we were like, whoa, guitars.
I know. I'll play all those for you at some point during the podcast. No, you know, full disclosure, this is really my husband, Matt Gorley, friend of the show.
Hey,
I think he's been on,
one
right?
Of the greats. Yeah, he's been on a couple times.
Yeah, so this is his office. And so, yeah, every once in a while, I kind of sneak in and do a quick podcast and then leave no trace, head out. But no, I won't be touching the guitars.
Right.
It's like a parasite situation where he doesn't even know you've been in.
Yeah, he has no clue. I live here. He doesn't know we're married. He doesn't know we have a child together.
Like,
it's a very complex operation that I'm running here.
Impressive.
Like, yeah, it's really
crazy. Impressively light touch by you.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Amazing. Well, we can't wait to get to know you a little bit better.
I mean, we obviously know each other so well.
Right.
You just said
so
old friends.
Yes.
You
met
old
Earwolf holiday party. Miles and you have mutual friends. You have
got mutual friends. Great mutual friends.
We're basically family.
Yeah.
I think that's all we really need, right? Like those are the sorts of deep relationships we all want in our lives.
Absolutely. Friends of friends. And I think I met you at a holiday party. Like,
at a holiday party.
Almost positive. Yes.
Well, I'm glad I made an impression.
Yes. Exactly. All right. We're going to get to know you in a little bit better. First, a few of the things we're talking about. We're talking about Moms for Liberty are back at it again, baby.
We were just talking about them.
Yeah. So they are trying to get librarians arrested in Florida, of course. So we're going to talk about that in conjunction with Mike Johnson's porno app. I don't think it's officially his porno app yet. I'm guessing
he endorses it, though.
Yeah, he endorses it. I don't know if the endorsement is official yet, if he's like appearing in ads. But this is, of course, the new Speaker of the House, who is in a bond with his 17-year-old son monitoring one another's jacking off activity.
No other way to really describe that.
How much each other's are jacking off. And so we're going to talk about that because that's the other way that the right is intervening and showing off their moral authority. We'll talk about Disney because you are, of course, Amanda, a Disney expert. And we're going to talk about people shitting at Disneyland. We are, of course, people shitting experts. So,
of course,
perfect marriage of our two areas of expertise. All of that, plenty more. But first, Amanda, we do like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history?
Oh, God. Okay. So the one thing that really did pop up yesterday when I looked was, is it okay for my 2-year-old to want to stay home all the time?
Right.
Oh, like a homebody 2-year-old?
Yeah, because we're currently like putting her into school and she freaking hates it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just like, it's just so crazy because when I Google something like that, it's not like I think there's going to be an answer.
Right.
You know what I'm looking for? And this is so sad. I'm looking for like a message board where I can just connect to someone in a similar situation. And then I just like quickly scan it. And then I close the tab and move on with my life.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Is
just
that,
have that
sad?
Hit of like,
no.
Yeah. It's not all bad. Yeah.
I think I should be just like texting a friend.
Right.
Well, do you have
just,
a,
I mean, but I guess it's sometimes our questions are so specific to experience. Sometimes we don't have somebody who's been through that exact thing. So I can see
why
sometimes.
It's cleaner to crowdsource friends, Miles. A friend is going to want stuff from you.
That's true.
But this is, you just crowdsource it. You cast a wide net, see other people's experience, and then you can just discard them.
And then you guys don't always get back to me right away.
That's true.
That's why for this specific one, I didn't really want to text you.
I don't interact with people unless it's on my podcast.
I see.
You have to come here with a microphone in front of you.
Yeah, I haven't spoken to my wife in 7 years.
It's got to be on mic.
This is content. Babe, this is content, babe. I have a 5-year-old. I was fighting this exact battle this very morning. was trying to get him to go to school, and he unbuckled himself as the car started moving and tried to climb into the front seat and be like, I don't think you understand. I'm not going to school.
Wait, Trump on January 6th, like trying to turn the Suburban around? Like, you're like, give me the hold of the wheel. Yeah. Like, yo, get back. Stay back there, sir. What are you doing?
It's very transitory, though.
Wow.
We were over it within 5 minutes.
Okay, that's good. See, my girl, she's new to this whole thing, so she's got endurance. Like, they have a little gate on the side of the school, and for like 20 minutes, I was like peeking through the gate.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, she's still going.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Still
get me out of here.
Fuck you.
Yeah, exactly. No, she's got a really dirty mouth.
Don't touch me, you fucking asshole. You're like, oh my God, where did you learn that?
I'm like, sorry, honey, I gotta go do a podcast.
Yeah, sorry, very important. You know what? You can totally just end this right now and go hang out with your daughter if you want. This is by no means the best thing to be doing.
No, if I get a phone call from the center, I'll have to take it. But otherwise, you guys, I got my priorities straight.
Okay.
Yeah.
What is something you think is overrated?
Okay, well, I'm going to do a Disney theme to go along with the podcast that I'm promoting because, this has just been on my mind because I recently went to Disney too. And I'm probably going to get some crap for this, but I think something that's overrated is a Dole Whip.
Oh, overrated the Dole
overrated.
Whip.
Well, now go
you guys
on,
know
why?
What a Dole Whip is?
Yes, I do. I know what part of the park to go to get my Dole Whip. You know, it's also vegan, so you know that shout out to the people who can also enjoy that treat. I know that little bit of information too.
Okay, well, like, I'm not anti-vegan, so don't take it.
Why?
Like,
no, you don't hate vegan.
Yeah, just why don't we get to that part? Yeah.
Well, it's gonna seem that I'm anti-vegan because the thing I think is underrated is a corn dog. The Disneyland corn dog.
Fuck a Dole Whip. Let's go corn dogs.
Let's go corn dogs. But I don't know. I just feel like the Dole Whip is the one treat that everyone's like, you have to eat this when you go to Disneyland. And for anyone who doesn't know, it's like a pineapple soft serve. And then if you get the float, it's like Dole pineapple juice.
Right.
On top of the, I don't know. It's like, it's just maybe like a little bit, like too much pineapple. And there's not like a lot of complexity of flavor.
No, I know what you mean. It's like very pleasant. And I think you know what it was. It was probably because you had to go over to like near the tiki room to get that shit that people are like, you can only get it in this part of the park. And that's why for me, my favorite weird Disneyland food is clam chowder in a bread bowl.
Oh, hell yeah. I'm with you. I'm all about the New Orleans Square foods. Yeah. Even the mint julep is really good in the beignets.
Yeah, I'm such a one track. I only eat when I go to Disneyland. I always eat churros and sourdough or bread bowl clam chowder. And I feel like I actually need to try other things because I only eat those two things consistent. It's really weird.
I mean, that sounds like a delicious Disney snack, but I don't know if you like get into hot dogs or what your feelings are surrounding hot dogs.
I'm dog curious.
If you're dog curious, I would definitely say next time, just treat yourself to the $12 corn dog.
Corn dog. Yeah, why is that so remarkable?
Is it enormous? Is it the size of like a turkey leg?
It's about the size of your microphone, Jack.
Okay.
Oh, shit.
Actually, you could just kind of imagine that as a corn dog, and it would be like...
That's wide.
that's what it would look like.
That sounds like it would be obscene. It sounds like my eyes would be watering as I tried to take the first bite. Like,
yeah, and you gotta do it all at once. I just pull out the popsicle stick, just clean.
Just whoop.
Yeah.
down the gullet.
Bones
like
and
Heath
all.
Cliff eating a fish.
Yeah.
Exactly. Wait. But it's just okay, and the $12 will also get you, if you want to be healthy, a little mandarin on the side.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm serious.
What you a can either weird... do
a bag of chips, or like the healthy option is like you get a little.
Oh, I thought you meant like a mandarin sauce. I was like, damn, this is like some gourmand shit that I did not know about. Oh, like, just like a mandarin orange that you can get at the grocery store. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
To like help grease the walls, add to the viscosity as it's going down.
It just kind of sits on top in your stomach. So it's like the corn dog and then a few little mandarin slices just sort of sitting there.
Now, did you OD on the whip when you were working at Disney? Did you have too much?
Yeah, how did you arrive here?
It's possible. So I was a Disney princess.
Yes.
And that's what I did for like, 6 or 7 years. Started the job when I was 17.
Wow. Was that illegal? Disney like has laxer laws than like than the NBA?
No, you can work. I mean, you couldn't have a work permit, right? I think I got hired when I was 16 and then I started working when I was 17.
Right, right.
But one of my best friends, her sister worked in one of the cafeterias scooping the fettuccine sauce onto the noodles. And so we would go in there and she'd hook us up just with a big to-go container filled with just the chicken fettuccine sauce.
Okay.
Oh, just like as if it's like a chowder?
Yeah, exactly. You might like it,
drop that
actually.
Shit in a bread bowl.
Yeah, that shit would. Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to say no to that.
Yeah. Wow. And so that was kind of like, that's where I'm coming from as far as my palate.
Yeah.
Classic. Okay. Stone. Yeah.
You're like the Anthony Bourdain of Disney princesses.
Of Disney cuisine. Yeah. Exactly.
You gotta get a bowl of Alfredo sauce.
So are you eating that with a spoon? Bowl of Alfredo?
A straw.
Or just fingers.
Fingers?
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Did you ever do that while you were in your Disney princess costume?
But occasionally
turns a corner and Cinderella's just there eating chicken fettuccine with her
Don't
hand.
Don't look at me.
Oh, stop looking
Turn
at me.
Turn away, child.
That's amazing. Are you able to go back to Disney and just have it, like, enjoy yourself? Does having seen the other side of the curtain, like, change it for you? Do you, like, know cut-throughs and shortcuts, I think, they're colloquially referred to as?
Yeah, it that's a good question, actually. And it's funny, we do explore it a little bit on the podcast, which I host with Matt Gorley, my husband, who also worked at Disney for, like, 10 years, although we never met there. We also both worked at Universal Studios. Oh. But we have different answers to that question. So, like, for me, I still love it. And I, even when I worked there, like, after work, I'd like go meet my friends and just like hang out. And for him, it tarnished it a little bit more because he was more sensitive to kind of like the experience of working for this big corporation. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think everyone who works there has a different answer to that question. But I personally still like it, especially when you work there and you get to go just for like an hour or two at a time for free. That's the way to do it. It's when you've paid $5 billion and you're there like from rope drop till the fireworks that you lose your mind and you're like, I'm never coming back here.
Right. I'm going to get every cent out of these tickets, even if my kids are unconscious at three different times.
Right.
It's
so funny when you see that, like where you see people pushing strollers around with just fucking passed out kids. And you're like,
oh, my God,
what's going on here? Like, who is this for at this point? It's like, look, these tickets were $5.50 a piece. So
we're staying till it closes. And those are the lucky people. The ones who aren't lucky are the ones whose children will not fall asleep. And they just are having meltdowns.
Right, constantly. Oof. Yeah, I'm about to do that the week of Thanksgiving. So I'm looking forward to total chaos because I know that is one of the most crowded times for the park. And I don't know what's going to happen. I might transcend into Christ consciousness because, because it's so horrifying. I don't know what else to do except to just go to another place mentally.
Yeah. It could be tough, but I would say listen to the podcast. We have an episode on the guest experience where we talk to like a third party, like non-Disney affiliated guide who takes people on like tours through Disney, but is like not officially affiliated. But they have all the like hacks.
Okay.
Of wow. How to get the most bang for your buck.
Yeah. Okay. And there's other also places to defecate that are listed there that might not be on the map.
That's the crazy thing. Like, no bathrooms at Disney.
That's what I told you.
Yeah.
Told you. See, Jack?
Right.
It's fine. It's fine if you go pee-pee anywhere.
Now, I saw the material for your show, and Matt, it looked like was inside a trash can at one point, playing a moving trash can, or I don't know if he was just like picking up garbage for the like. And then you are of course a princess. Is there like a caste system behind the scenes where like are you treated as a star, as the star that you would one day become?
Yes, there is definitely a hierarchy backstage, and you're going to be shocked by this, but the trash can is above the princess.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy? I'm not even kidding, because Matt was a union performer, so he wasn't inside that trash can.
Oh, okay.
I would love it if he was just like shuffling around, but no, he was like controlling. It was called, what was the trash can's name? Oh, God, he's going to kill me. No, I'm just kidding. It was this talking trash can that he basically controlled it from a little remote covertly. He was just like sitting on a bench looking like a park guest with a little microphone. So the trash can would like, his name was Push, like come up to you and be like, hey, Toots, like that churro looks good. Like,
yeah,
you know, and
oh, yeah, yeah.
And he was making probably like $30 an hour. But me as a princess, I think I was making like less than half of that. And this is, of course, you know, back in the 2000s, early 2000s.
Right, sure. Yeah.
Because that was union. And then it goes princesses. And then under that are the fuzzy characters. Mm. And we interviewed a good amount of the fuzzy characters for the podcast. And some of them had such damning stories that we had to disguise their voices and change their names. Like, no, I'm serious. People were scared to talk.
The things I've seen at Disney World. And you're like, oh, no.
Yeah. No, I'm not even kidding. People were scared to talk to us. And everyone was like, aren't you guys scared you're going to get sued? And we're like, well, yes, but like, we don't
Wouldn't
have
that be
any.
Good?
Yeah, I mean, maybe.
That's free publicity.
And we're not just talking about Disney. We're talking about all theme parks, you know, but Disney, of course, is the one everyone is interested in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is there anyone below the fuzzy characters? That feels like the worst experience to be inside one of those during a hot summer's day.
I think as far as the characters go, and that's what the podcast focuses on, are their experiences, the fuzzies, it's like, that's a tough job.
That is a tough
gig.
That's
the grunt work. Yeah.
It's hard. And it's like, it's a hot, the guests are like jerks to you.
Yeah.
And you can't say shit, right?
No, you can't talk. And it's just, I don't know. It's just tough. That's a physically really difficult job to do. And mentally. But I would say princessing is a little bit more of a mind game.
Mm-hmm. Captain Jack Sparrow, like one of the cool people to like.
Well, when
I feel like
first...
anybody who plays Captain Jack Sparrow as a character at Disneyland probably like has a certain personality profile.
Oh,
embody that. Yeah.
They thought they were a hot shit, but they would get hit on. They'd get phone numbers like nobody's business. But Matt also told me that a lot of women would just dump their phone numbers in his trash can. And I go, oh, my God, women really have low self-esteem. Yeah. Like,
yes,
you're I'll putting your numbers straight into the trash.
Yeah. I'm hooking up with a trash can, a literal trash can later.
Yeah. I would fuck that trash can.
Oh, man. I'm hot about that trash can.
I spent $500 on this ticket. I'm not leaving until I fuck that trash can.
It's funny, but I mean, I did marry a trash can.
You did? Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's.
And ladies, I am very satisfied. Let me tell you
that. The initial spark was trash can, you say. All right. Let's take a quick break. We're going to come back. We'll talk some news and we'll get back into some Disney stuff a little later on. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where First-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
And we're back. And as we discussed with Jared Holt, a.k.a. Holtomania, on our special Tuesday episode, you know, Moms for Liberty, still out here. I guess we didn't get into Moms for Liberty that much, but the right-wing movement in these United States is on the move. They're out here strategizing, and they are focusing on schools and libraries. And there's a new Florida law that took effect, which essentially allows for the banning of any book that has, quote, sexual content from schools. And under these guidelines, that would include the works of, oh, have you guys heard about this fucking pervert William Shakespeare?
Oh,
you guys heard about
disgusting.
That sicko?
Disgusting. Ugh. Smut peddler, really.
Yeah.
Smut spear is what we call him.
But if your first question is, has this led to right wingers literally trying to get librarians arrested? Yes, it has.
Yeah.
We've got some great police body cam footage showing two members of Moms for Liberty complaining to the cops about a school librarian who was breaking the law by lending out a YA fantasy novel to teens.
Jesus.
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty salacious. You know, it's all about this like teen who's dealing with fucking gargoyles.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Okay. Like but gargoyles are little perverts.
Yeah.
They are.
I know.
Gargoyles
I get
are
it.
Incredibly horny.
I get it. And like, I think there's like a scene where there's making out and something that almost leads to sex. Not them actually, but that's the passage that is so so objectionable.
Yeah.
Maybe a little dry humping or.
Yeah.
That's, gargoyle
that,
humping.
That is what it happened. Mm-hmm. And so they go into the police station with the book, like drop it on in front of the presumably like homicide detective.
Oh, like, no.
Third degree felony. He's like, what? Third degree felony right there. The governor says this is child pornography. It's a serious crime, just as serious as if I handed a Playboy to her right now, right here in front of you. She is gesturing to like her 4-year-old daughter who's like here for this shit.
Yeah.
Like, who has
just
to be there
to the police station.
Yeah. Just a fucking nightmare for everyone involved. But the book, it just doesn't, I don't know. It's called Storm and Fury.
Okay, well, I will be reading this.
I know. Oh, yeah, great advertising. Like if you guys got sued by Disney, this is great advertising.
Right,
everyone's trying to get banned from by Mothers for Liberty. Liberty Mothers, what's their name?
Moms for Liberty. Yeah,
Moms
for
Liberty.
We're called Moms for Liberty, and we do have great potlucks. Yeah, no, I'm not a member of this group. Although it sounds like I'd like the community.
Sounds like a good time. I mean, it's just wild that they're going, it's just now straight to the police station with a book saying, like, you need to arrest them, and also having no idea what pornography is, child pornography, or laws. Like, truly. This is child pornography. If I handed this child pornography, this is child pornography, is like the logic that we're using here.
I just don't understand, because, like, do you know kids who would be reading that, like, that age range? It's like your imagination is like the most like vivid pornographic thing at that age, or at least mine was. And I'm just like, this book is like paling into comparison to whatever's already going on in those tweens' minds.
You're like, come on, can I get some more descriptor words here?
Exactly.
I can't get jiggy to this passage about the gargoyle almost having sex.
As the kids continue to say to this day, I can't get jiggy with this. Miles, the timely reference. Yeah, but this is a book that would be like recommended as a skip, like from one teenager to another, be like, no, you skip that. Like, they don't even have sex. Like, they just like make out and almost have sex. Like, this is this is not the one, but this is like the best that Moms for Liberty can come up with for their like, you know, evidence that there's a plot to spoil the minds of their children. The book is recommended by the way, for 14 to 18 year olds. So, you know, also known as high school age.
Again, it's just like they were trying to go the school board route, and now it's just, they're like, fuck it, man, just go straight to the cops. It's funny how like the, you know, some police are like, I don't know what you want me to do here. They're like, the governor said, and they're like, okay. But then you have like other incidences where these parents have tried something like that, and some are like, okay, we're investigating it or whatever, which is just as fucked up, because you're like, what
investigating
are you talking
it? About? You just see, like, the whole police department like reading that book on their lunch break.
But yeah, it's just, again, the like the cheapening of like actual, like, this is the same thing. Like, they're throwing people off from like what real child trafficking is, what actual child pornography is, by just going this route of being like, the gargoyles almost banged, and that's illegal. And you're like, you're actually doing a disservice to like the actual people who are trying to, you know, protect children from having to like be in child pornography. But you, this is a better use of their time, I guess. Yeah.
Gargoyle sculptures are like, aren't they usually nude? Like,
yeah, I think
I've seen a gargoyle wearing clothes. Yeah.
Well, they're like little, like kind of buff little men, and maybe there's like a little cloth or something that they're wearing.
Little loincloth.
Yeah.
Anyways,
I'm trying to find out, why are gargoyles hot?
Okay, that's a good question.
And no one is actually answering this.
I do like that they brought the book in a large manila envelope. It's a 512 page book, and they're like, this is evidence, state's evidence.
Yeah, exactly. Right, in a clear bag.
I just imagine them just like being okay, like, and they take the book back and put it in a little jail cell, and they're like, we'll keep this here.
Exactly.
Yeah, they're like, stop resisting, and they like throw the book down. You're like, oh my god, y'all, are y'all for real? And this is like interesting too, because it's like that one thing we saw in Utah. I forget. I don't know if I haven't checked back in on the state of it, but remember one parent was like, oh, if you think this book's bad, check out the Bible.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like, that's such a good point.
And like that one school board was like, all right, yeah, we'll look into it. Maybe it does need to get banned. And you're like, wait, what?
Bible can get got too, man.
Yeah.
Anything can happen. We're fucking crazy over here. Anything can
fucking
happen.
Anything, man. Here we are. But yeah, Bill Shakespeare should also be on the
Willie,
probably can't parse through like the literary nature of Shakespeare, and they're like, how does a beast have two backs? And you're like, never mind. It's like, y'all are reading interracial porno right now, but you're like confused. I don't know these words.
Yeah. Well, for an idea of what they have in mind for like how to parent. So obviously, you know, books that exist in a universe where sex is a reality, obviously out the window. Burn those, literally. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, like, how do you keep tabs on your children? Well, we have a new House Speaker, Mike Johnson, to take our cues from. We just kind of skipped over this yesterday.
Yeah.
This should probably be just what our podcast is about from now on. But the new speaker, like an old clip from a 2022 Christian event called War on Technology, went viral over the weekend, in which this new speaker, Mike Johnson, paused for a moment to praise the tech that allowed for sermons to be streamed. So that's one good piece of technology. We'll let them stick around when we do our war on technology. The other one that he praised, Covenant Eyes, his go-to shameware app that prevents people from looking at porn. We had covered the existence of this shameware before. It's basically you create a buddy system with one other person, and then that person gets a report about your internet use from that mm-hmm. week at the end of the week, and is like finds out if you stray from a Jesus approved browser history, essentially. It's called Covenant Eyes. It's it's just so weird. And in this, like when he's like, I love Covenant Eyes, and my accountability partner is my 17-year-old son.
Ugh. Oof, that's just
why are you
wrong.
Even opening that door? Like, son, you know, I jack off. Way right. too much.
Hey, look, man, I get it. I just jacked off right before coming
her
in
there.
Here to talk to you. Like, what?
Why are we opening this? I mean, again, but this is, I think this is part of how, like, backwards his worldview is. Like, because we've talked about how this guy is also, like, into, like, you know, like, gay torture and, like, has been with all these, like, virulent, like, homophobic groups and, like, you know, just of trying to criminalize gay sex. So he's definitely in like the farthest reaches of the extreme part. And then, yeah, it makes sense that now he's just using this or that sort of ideology is wrapped up in it. And I was like, and now my son is part of my accountability team. And, you know, this here we are just to further shame people for whatever the fuck they're doing as humans.
Have you guys ever seen this where like a married couple will be sharing an email address? Mm-hmm. Do you have anyone in like your, like I have some, you know, some people I know who are like more conservative religious, and it seems to be a thing that like there's some suggestion that like, you know, you should not have your own accounts.
Right.
That like, I think it's to this, the same like premise as Covenant Eyes that be accountability this way. You can't have secrets from your spouse or be like conducting, you know, having affairs or whatever. Yeah.
I don't have anything to hide. Right. So why not have, why would we have separate emails when we could have one just giant unwieldy inbox that
my
we both
God.
Have to monitor?
So many
honestly,
promotional emails.
Like each other's.
This would be Matt's worst nightmare would be sharing an email account with me because I have like 300,000 unread messages
same.
Or something
same.
Insane.
Same.
And he
you.
Has none. Zero. He
oh,
keeps
he's,
a zero.
Oh,
he's a zero inbox person?
Mm-hmm.
I think
shout
we call
out to
those
them.
Fascists. No, yeah, but zero inbox people are like a different species that mm-hmm. I don't. I should, like, I want to study them like they're a higher life form than
yeah.
me.
Oh, they like definitely. You.
But yeah, like the single email address is very like Mike Pence. Like, I will never have a meal.
Mother.
I'll never be alone with a woman anywhere because, you know, because God. You know
I
what
can't
I mean?
Trust myself, man.
Because you see the Riz, dude. It's dripping off
yeah.
of me.
Yeah, exactly.
It is so frightening, the whole premise of this. And by the way, like they have multiple devices, right?
Right.
Like,
yeah.
It's all for show. Like it doesn't. It's completely meaningless.
Right.
Yeah.
The idea that this old guy is like his son is unable to get around these sensors that like he is beholden to is very funny to me. That he's like he said his accountability partner, his son. I'm proud to tell you, my son has got a clean slate. Which is funny because no, he doesn't. He's just like better at technology than you, you dumb fuck.
Yeah. Like the, they're like, he loves drawing naked women, though. So many drawings this kid has, some really explicit stuff, but he knows the human form.
Right.
But like, he's not looking at stuff on the internet.
Yeah. And also, like, that statement of him being like, and I got to tell you, my son clean slate conspicuously omits his own slate, which suggests that his 17-year-old is like having to like catch him in the act of jacking off all the time. I don't know. It's, I guess it wouldn't be like handing your daughter a Playboy right there in front of a cop, but it's like telling your 17-year-old son that you jacked off to a Playboy. Like, also not great. I feel like maybe the cops shouldn't approve of that.
But at least it's his dad. I don't know. I don't know what the stakes are exactly. But what's funny, though, is like that there are actual stakes from him talking about using this app, because many people heard this and they're like, I'm sorry, you have spyware basically on your phone that monitors all of your internet activity?
Spyware for Jesus, though.
Okay.
It's the spy in this case is Jesus.
Okay. I'm sorry. But either way, Jesus, you are looking at sensitive materials. Can Jesus also see that through here?
Yes.
And
it's okay that I look at porn because Jesus looks at it with me. And he's like, that one's all right. That one's
skip,
cool.
Dude. Skip this one. Open a new tab, dude. Close it. Go to the next tab.
It's getting worse and worse by the minute.
Yeah. And like, I think that's what's like now everyone's like, this is an actual national security risk to have this kind of shit on your phone.
Well, this is what we covered. Like the first time we covered it, in addition to it being like a weird like social dynamic where people are like shaming themselves into like not and like shaming each other. And like a lot of times this is distributed or like it's a tool that like your pastor tells you about in these communities and is like, you should be on Covenant Eyes if you're not already. Covenant Eyes, Jesus Christ. Mm-mm. Like, what a weird. But the other reason that we were covering it is it's created by a former NSA mathematician. And the app reportedly exploits Android's accessibility permissions, allowing them to record every website visited in the device's browser. And also, like, Google had to remove it from their app store because it was like monitoring everything someone did on their phone, not just the browser stuff.
Right.
And so Google even was like not famous for their respect for digital privacy, had to step in and be like, guys, this is weird.
Right.
Isn't the keyword there also Android? Because I feel like they definitely don't have iPhones.
Right.
No. I don't think you can. Let me see. Is it on iOS? Let's see. Yeah.
Because I could see where this could be a useful tool.
It's on iOS.
Oh, you can get it? Just to like shame yourself into not like going, being on Instagram so much. Or like, like, you know, if I had like an accountability partner, they could be like, oh my God, Amanda, you like searched, like looked into pants for like 3 hours on Monday. Like you need to kind of get your act together.
You also need to specify your searches. You just wrote pants into the search into Google.
Like, I used to write
nothing pants, more specific than that.
Pants for me. Me want pants.
Me pants.
Me pants.
Pants me?
Then it got into pantsing videos. It's very weird. It's a weird rabbit hole.
Yeah. I get it right in the end, though. Somehow I find my way back to the Nordstrom website.
You stand up and your pants are like 14 sizes too big. But so even he, like, on the one hand, at first I was like, maybe he's just like saying this because it's like a weird, like, Christian cred thing, you know?
Right.
But he specifically was like complaining about how it was baggy, or sorry, how it was buggy, not like your pants baggy, but it was buggy and had flagged two women conversing with his son as questionable. So, like, he has like detailed user experience that he's like talking about with this thing. It was created by some creep who used to work for the NSA, allegedly, and just uses the idea of Christianity to like get people to send him their porn browsing history.
Mm. Yeah, man. Who thought the surveillance state was so kinky? Just like, they're like, yeah, man, I don't know. I can see everything with this app. It's just, again, I don't know. I think it's just more parody for what's happening, because it's like, guy is, we were talking earlier about how he had no bank account. Now, like, one of his like spokespeople was like, he has a bank account, he just didn't report it. And you're like, that's better?
That's weird, man.
There's so much murky shit going on with him. It's just so but I guess that's part and parcel of it.
Yeah, he also like spearheaded a Christian-based law school in Louisiana, which never actually had any students, and ultimately lost $5 million.
Oh.
And yeah, the Washington Post like did a deep dive where they were like, where did that money go? And why were you overselling this thing after you got a report that was like, this is a fucking bad idea, man. There's no base for this. Nobody's going to be interested in this. And he just like kept selling it, kept pushing it. So
no one wants an institution that focuses on training Christian attorneys in Northwest Louisiana. Okay.
It sounds like a surefire bet right there, but say it, but I don't know. I guess the data said otherwise. So yeah. Anyways,
a lot more question marks about this speaker, but hey, this is, it's funny. Like even without this like weird stuff going on in his personal life, just like where he's at on certain issues is like enough to be like, dude, he is like a gargoyle who's like on the side of a church.
Yeah.
Like it's his whole energy, but hey,
without his clothes on,
Well, actually with a suit on because he's one of those, kind gargoyles.
I'm getting an alert here. I've got your guys's, what's it called? What's the app
Covenant
called?
Eyes.
Covenant
your
Eyes.
Your Covenant Eyes here just alerted me that you guys are having some naughty search histories.
No.
Yeah. But I am gonna pants. I'm gonna add you on Covenant Eyes. So accept my request.
Accept my
gargoyle
request.
No pants. That was my search history.
Gargoyle hung. mine are a little.
I just
more
meant
explicit.
Hung from the side of the building.
From the building. What the heck are you talking about, Dad? I was asking if the gargoyle was hanging out somewhere, and I misspelled it. Parents just don't understand.
Let's. They should add a verse to that song. It's about your parents sharing
Eyes.
A Covenant Eyes account with your parents.
Yeah, Will Smith, come back, baby.
Let's give us that dad verse. Goes on national television and brags about how you don't jack off at all.
Oh no.
Oh boy. Well, hey, maybe he's levitating from all that. Yeah. From all that beef being so chaste.
That's right. All right. Let's take a quick break and we're gonna come back. We're gonna talk Disneyland and Disney World. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
we're back.
We're back.
And Amanda Lund, you have a new podcast we mentioned up top. Keys to the Kingdom, by the way, well named. I don't often say that about podcasts, but just a perfect name.
Oh, thank you.
But you are using your background as a Disney Park cast member, as well as a bunch of research and interviews to take people behind the scenes. And there's one story that popped onto our radar about people are apparently pooping all over the park in places they're not supposed to.
Yeah. It was wild how I, like, when we were putting together stories for the episode, like, this story, like, literally dropped, like, yesterday. It's on SFGate, highly regarded journalistic outlet, by the way. And, like, so the story is sort of going on a lot of stories that are being shared on Reddit by former cast members and guests that seem to overlap. So one person posted in, like, a Disney subreddit, quote, "I am in the queue for Rise of the Resistance. Someone let their kid take a dump on the floor, and then they just walked out and left it. WTF. Then someone replied, "For the skeptics, this actually happened. Fun fact, this was one of three shit-related incidents at Rise today. Less fun fact, I was here for all three of them."
Wow.
So it sounds like shit like this, and the pun is intended, has also happened on attractions like Flight of Passage at Disney World. Someone said, quote, "Let's just say that the attraction I work at has what the cast ended up dubbing, quote, the poop hall. Because of the amount of times guests have gone in there and pooped. We even put up a camera and it didn't stop it." Now, I don't know how hyperbolic that is.
It might have
is.
Encouraged it.
But. Yeah.
Is this must be because the lines are long and, like, perhaps, yes. I mean, I'm not surprised. I've heard of one instance of this, but it was at Hong Kong Disneyland.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And that was a friend told me a story. I think a guest maybe pooped in like a planter.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, at least that's a planter versus right there in the line for Rise of the
planter.
Resistance.
I'm good. Wait, are we not supposed to poop in the planter?
That's fertilizer.
Have you been? Okay. So right. You've been pooping in the planters.
Is that, I mean, I haven't, I'm not going to say like I did it frequently, but like I thought that, yeah, like fertilizer, good for the plant.
Let's just say his living room stinks. Yeah. Do not go
just
inside his house.
Balancing
in the summer.
On like a tiny little. But at like the custodial, the custodial staff at Disneyland, they've got stories. And we actually, this isn't poop related, but we talked to a Wall Street Journal journalist who had written a story about people spreading ashes.
Yeah.
And that is a super common occurrence in the Haunted Mansion specifically.
Oh.
And here's just like a little tidbit. We talked about this in the last episode of the podcast, but when the custodial notices someone has spread ashes, they call it in over their little walkies as code grandma.
Oh my gosh.
But then they got in trouble for doing that. So they had to call it like whatever
code
cleanup
code
or
G.
Yeah, something.
GMA or Grand M.
Code but Ashes.
It's incredible that like that kind of stuff goes on. And I don't know. I mean, I personally have never even really seen or smelled poop at Disney.
Yeah. Well, they want to keep the princesses insulated from that sort of thing.
Yeah,
they
of
need
course.
You to just you don't need to believe the magic.
Yeah, yeah. And now that I say that, that's a lie because I did smell a lot of poop. Poopy diapers.
Kids
are
in their diapers.
Yeah.
That's what I'm like, is it? I get that too. Like when you have thousands of little kids having to wait in long lines,
right?
Shit happens. You know?
Exactly. Like they should have more bathrooms along the path of the line because it's like I was at Disney World less than a year ago and you know, you are waiting for hours. If you don't remember to like get your kid to the bathroom beforehand, like at some point your 4-year-old's going to be like, "Look, man, it's not a question of if or when it's happening. it's a question of where it's happening."
Right?
Yeah.
You gotta bite the bullet and just be like, "Well, I just waited in a 3-hour line for nothing."
Right.
Which is fine, but then your kid's going to be, like, upset about having to miss that. But
yeah, and I was curious if it's, like, because there's a lot of stories about adults going to the bathroom, too. So you're like, well, hold on, man. Like, what the fuck's going on? It's not just kids. And I don't know if it's, like, are people having some kind of, like, Mariko Aoki phenomenon kind of thing, you know, like where people who have to like go to a bookstore and got to take a dump suddenly. Like, are people just overwhelmed by the magic kingdom and like their bowels go phantasmic on them? Or like what is it?
You might be, honestly, I think you might be onto something. I feel like people are just so excited.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And like maybe the clam chowder doesn't help.
Not for me. That's what I do to avoid.
So you're just walking around with a bread bowl of clam
chowder?
Dude, just
housing it, man.
Just housing it and then eating the bread bowl?
No spoon, like a fucking Viking sipping out of my vanquished enemy's skull.
Yeah.
I love it.
And it looks just as tough as that.
Oh, yeah. Except just really gross. And people are like, do you have to like slurp that like in line right now in my ear? I'm like, look, I haven't been here in a while. But it sounds like the code system like is normal, right? Because like you just said, there's code grandma or whatever they altered it for spreading ashes. And there's also a code for feces, which was code H for like horse manure. So the custodial staff could clean up any like horse shit like on Main Street. And now they also have human code H for the human variety, which is
human code H is so foreboding.
That's
like
really
that doesn't
scary.
Make me less curious what's going on.
No.
Right. I'm following the employees who are like, we got a human code H over here. We got a, like, it sounds like
Dad,
a human
we're
got
no,
loose
we're not.
In Toontown or something like it, or there's like some Soylent Green thing happening.
Yeah. But, that's scary. I bet they clean it up like so efficiently that you like wouldn't even notice. Like I heard a story that one time at Disney during Christmas, you know, they have those big like Clydesdale horses.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So one of the horses like dropped dead and they put like a little tarp over it, but they don't obviously want just like a dead horse in the middle of Main Street. So they surrounded the horse with Christmas carolers.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, wait.
As like, a way to kind of like distract from
nothing
like
to see here.
What's behind that tarp? Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, exactly. So I wonder if they'd do the same thing with like a little turd on the ground, if they'd be like, quick Pinocchio, like go over there and like do some animation in front of the little turd.
And put like a Mickey hat on it on top of it. Just to be like, it's nothing. Yeah.
Because anything is that can be made a magical moment. You know, and that is what Disney does best.
Yeah. What's more whimsical than a pile of excrement with a Mickey hat? I can't think of anything else. That would probably brighten my day.
I wonder, like, do the people who run the show who are like, all right, get me 20 carolers over here and just have them circle the horse carcass and start, like, that's a sort of genius that I feel like. Are these people who, like, what is your background when you get to that position? Is your background like being a casino pit boss? Or are you coming from like the world of like, you know, I've been involved in many kinetic situations in the Middle East, if you know what I'm saying?
They're probably coming from the Pentagon. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. The Pentagon. It's a revolving door between the Pentagon and controlling, like being the eyes in the sky at Disneyland and Disney World.
You would think so, but I think the road to getting like that job is just being a Disney adult believing so heavily in the magic that you will do whatever it takes to protect the magic.
Yeah.
Including if a kid sees the dead horse, that kid needs to go. Because otherwise he's going to get out into the world, start talking about it, and he's going to dissipate the magic a little bit.
Or what you do is you indoctrinate that child and you make sure they have a lifelong career in the company, right? Like keep your enemies closer.
Oh, right. Smart. Just absorb them. They're like, hey, kid, you got a lot of potential. Don't waste it out there in the real world. You should apply that here in the kingdom. What do you think?
But if you ever get the sense that they're turning, you gotta take care of that really quickly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
They're like, yeah, and they do a thing. They're like, you don't want a bunch of carolers singing around you, right? And you're like, what? You know what the fuck? Don't I get enough act right?
End up spread around the haunted mansion, do you?
Yeah. You take him over to Tom Sawyer's Island.
Yeah.
Like, just take a little boat ride. Take a little boat ride with me.
Yeah. It's the real Grimms. It's like a mob hit
on the canoes. You know those canoes that no one goes on.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, let's go on a canoe ride.
You want to go fishing? Yeah. Let's do that. It's interesting too, like even how like even the design of, I didn't realize there are certain parts of the park that are like sort of acknowledging rivers of excrement, which I did not know.
This is allegedly.
Where?
Allegedly.
I haven't heard this.
In Liberty Square, there's an odd brown path that is meant to hearken the 16th century when indoor plumbing didn't exist and represent the river of excrement that would have been flowing when people emptied their chamber pots. So they're like, I don't know if like this is what they're trying to do. Like it's supposed to look like an odd path, but like people with a historic lens is like, that kind of looks like back in the day when people just dumped their poo and pee out in the middle of the street and created a little sewage river. Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Imagineers are really sick.
Oh, yeah. You sick fucks. But yeah. I think to your point, like one clinical psychologist explanation behind like public defecation includes anxiety. And I think, you know, kids getting ready to go on a ride or even like adults. I saw some like pretty wild shit happen. Like as an adult got to the front of like the longest line I waited in when I was at Disney World was like the Ratatouille ride. And like there was an adult who like wanted their ride to go like exactly the way they had envisioned it. And so they didn't want to ride with anybody else next to them. And the people had to like kick them off the ride because they were like fighting with them. It was like very, very sad, like yeah, upsetting, but it's just like too much.
People truly snap. And you just also have to imagine like the amount of people going through Disneyland, like on any given day, like their crowd control is so good that you don't even really can't even comprehend how many people are actually around you. And right. So it's just statistically like some of those people are going to have a tummy ache.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's also too, it's kind of like, you know, I get the anxiety part because it's so fucking expensive to go to Disneyland, Disney World. And if you don't live in Florida or California, like that's an expense. People save a lot of fucking money to take their family to go have this experience. And I can just see how that can mount to a point where, yeah, maybe, you know, your stomach goes haywire a little bit.
Kablooey. Or
you're like, fuck, I need to take a shit. But I mean, yeah. It's like, I feel like it's the same way, like, right? Like we were talking like earlier, like when the show first started, we were talking about how there's so many fights with parents at Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
But that's also because they serve alcohol. But a lot of people also point to the fact that a child's birthday coupled with like maybe stressed finances and things like that can create like a high anxiety environment that can just go off at any second. And I've seen recently like clips of like people fucking scrapping at Disneyland too. And you're like, I can see how like all of that can come together where it's coming out in like people getting aggressive with each other or maybe just
rivers of shit.
Going left, you know?
Taking just a little poop, just squatting in line at Pirates of the Caribbean and just like letting a few drop and then moving on your way saying, hey, it's my number's up. I'm going to get on this ride.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just, money I'm paying, I should be allowed to take a shit in this line.
Right.
That's exactly right.
And I get why too, like that the person you're talking about, Jack, who knows how much money they spent and like in their mind, they're like, no. Y'all motherfuckers owe me this. I'm doing Ratatouille this fucking way. And you're like, well, we have like thousands of people in line here. Like, we can't really guarantee that. Yeah. And yeah, people want to fucking lose it. But hey, I don't know, you know.
And the Disney, like, business plan has been, like, I remember we were talking within the last year that, like, park attendance was down. And then it was revealed that was actually part of their plan because they just, like, charged so much money that people would actually stop coming in such high numbers to the park. Yeah. And like it wouldn't, the drop in attendance wouldn't offset the amount of money they were making. And it would make it like a better experience for the people there, except of course for the people who can't afford it and are like, Jesus, like having a nervous breakdown because they're realizing like they're putting too much pressure on this moment because they've gone into debt to accomplish it.
That's crazy. I mean, if I was a billionaire, like I would just become a Club 33 member and like pay whatever $30,000 a year just to have that kind of like no line experience.
Yeah. Yeah. That's Club 33. Yeah. That's real. That's a like club at Disney that's like behind the scenes and but it's invite only.
Oh,
and you get beat into it by Mickey Mouse and Pluto.
You have to name a bunch of cereals. Why they jump you. Wait, no, that's the Proud Boys when they jump you in. Sorry, I get it mixed up sometimes.
Yeah.
But yeah, I remember like I had a friend who was like whose family was fully Disney brained as kids. And I remember they, through somebody at their church they went to, got the chance to go and eat at the restaurant and shit. And like, for them, it was like ascending to the next level of existence. We're like, we're there, dude. Like, you'll never see it. We couldn't take pictures. Da, 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 da. And like, there are some pictures on the internet, but apparently those are like totally unauthorized because you're not supposed to have images of the coveted club.
I've been in. I've done a few special events.
All right.
You know.
And worth it? Worth the 30 grand? Club.
I mean, of course. It's amazing. There's a full bar. There's a buffet.
Ooh. A buffet.
How similar is the vibe to the Eyes Wide Shut party?
Oh, it's quite, there's quite a bit of overlap.
Yeah. Single icy piano key the whole time you're walking in.
Yeah.
Just bling, ding, bling, ding. Yeah.
A lot of
plague doctor masks.
Yeah.
Well, Amanda Lund, what a pleasure having you on the show.
Yeah.
Where can people find you, follow you, hear you, all that good stuff?
Well, thank you for having me. This was amazing. I laughed. I learned. I loved. I'm at Amanda Fun Buns on Instagram.
Amazing.
If you're curious, there's some cat photos there for you. And then Keys to the Kingdom is out wherever you get your podcasts.
Amazing. And hey, is there something that you learned that you were like, this is so much darker. This goes beyond anything that I expected coming in to Keys to the Kingdom.
I thought you meant on your podcast. Yeah.
Just
imagining like the gargoyle's dick was pretty dark for me.
Just a super big gargoyle dick. Yeah.
Oh my God. There's so much on Keys to the Kingdom. I can't even really pinpoint it, but there's a story about, speaking of shit, actually, one of our anonymous sources has a pretty good story about being dressed as a pirate and shitting their pants and having to take the ferry with guests to costuming backstage while they had a underwear filled with shit.
Wow.
And it was like on their shoes and stuff too, because they had a big accident.
Oh no.
Wow. Maybe this is just a
constant thing at Disney. Like they're
right.
They're drawing it out with their weird alchemy of like painted on rivers of shit. And they're interesting. Amazing.
But anyway, check it out. Check it out. And, even if you're not a super big Disney fan, I think you'll still enjoy hearing about kind of like the workplace minutiae of working for like these big corporations. Pretty interesting.
Amazing. Is there a work of media that you've been enjoying?
Oh, I have something. So this is, if you want to kind of relax and get away from Twitter and Instagram, check out YouTube. And every morning in my house, we put on an ambient AI-generated screensaver. So if you just YouTube like fall, festive fall screensaver, there will be so many like autumnal scenes with like rain and a fireplace, and usually there's like a cat or a dog like breathing like really softly on a big sofa, but they're all AI generated. So then you'll start looking closer and seeing these like weird things like, oh, why is there just like a pumpkin in a cage like in the foreground? Just really strange stuff. But we have one on in our house every single morning, and they're really relaxing and also kind of fun to just scan through and see if you can find like the weird things that the robots got wrong.
Yeah. Oh, that's a blast.
Yeah, people
pumpkin
people
in a cage.
Yeah, that there's literally about that pumpkin in a cage. Because there'll just be like a credenza with like some pottery on it and like some fall pumpkins. And then you look closer and you're like, why is there just like a pumpkin in like a scary torture cage?
Yeah. Ooh,
no.
But from a distance, you wouldn't even think twice.
Maybe it's Cinderella's like carriage. Was that?
Was that impounded?
Yeah. Or it like had, did that carriage like kind of operate on its own, or it came with horses?
Oh, no. Okay. So like the mice got turned into horses.
Horses. Okay.
And then
someone got
turned into a driver.
Yeah. That's
the
right.
Cat okay.
So
or
you
the
wouldn't,
dog.
You wouldn't need to cage that pumpkin when it was asleep, when it was just in pumpkin form, because if it got turned back, it would just get wheels and probably not going anywhere.
And doors. Okay. And be whimsical.
All right. Obviously. Well, that theory's out the door, but you know. We'll solve it one of these days. AI is so good at its job. Well, amazing. Thank you so much for being on, Amanda.
Oh, thanks,
Miles,
guys.
Where can people find you? What's work media you've been enjoying?
Find me on the @base platforms at Miles of Gray. If you like basketball, like Jack and I do, check out our basketball podcast. We do
Miles
with the National Basketball Association. Miles and Jack on Matt Boosties.
Matt Boosties.
Sorry, that was a bad way to promote it. Miles and Jack got mad boosties. Look, and the new season is giving us
boosties.
So many moments worth talking about. And let's see, a tweet. Oh, and also, if you like 90 Day Fiancé like I do, check out my other show, 420 Day Fiancé with Sophia Alexandra. Let's see, a tweet I like is from Mike Kaplan at Mike Kaplan, M-Y-Q-K-A-P-L-A-N, tweeted. This is from back from 2016. Andrew T. Just put it on my radar, but I got to shout this one out. I said, just learned that Nancy Drew is short for Nancy Drew conclusions from clues she found as evidence to solve mysteries. And yeah, that makes sense.
Makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great name. You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. Work of media I've been enjoying is the app, the free meditation app, Soothing Pod. I don't know. I'd heard a lot about like Calm and like all those other ones. Soothing Pod is free. It's got a bunch of good meditations on there.
You doing an ad right now?
I don't think so, because it doesn't cost any money. So you
no, I'm just, I didn't realize you're like legit. You really fucking with this thing. I was like, wait, what the, you really fucking with this? I was like, do we get a deal?
Friend me on there and then I will monitor your meditation practices and see what you're meditating to. And, you know, I might have some voiceovers in the middle of the meditations telling you to send me money in the mail, but.
Wait, it's just like they're guided meditations or something?
Yeah, there's just guided meditations. My therapist turned me on to it and was just like, this one's like free for some reason. All the other ones, like they eventually are like, to unlock this, pay this much money, or like you have to subscribe. And this one's just free and pretty good. Like it's got a lot of stuff on there.
Okay.
Yeah. So check that out. That's wild. Real work of media instead of a funny tweet.
I know. That was like that, like in the beginning of the lockdowns, and I was shouting out that one app that was just, that gave you like 3D audio of like being in nature. It's like when you're all locked down. I get it. Sometimes those apps, they take you away. They take you away.
You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. Where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. Miles, what song do you think people might enjoy?
This is a track from the artist Lola Young from Southeast London. And this track is called Conceited. And it sounds like if like Adele was like a cigarette smoker and a little bit like grimier, like, and not in a negative way, just a little more like just to like what she does. This track is really dope. So check out Lola Young, Conceited. It's like if Amy Winehouse and Adele kind of came to kind of get Lola Young. And anyway, she's an amazing vocalist. The instrumental that she's singing, like, it's all fantastic. So Conceited, Lola Young. Check it out.
We will link off to that in the footnotes. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That's going to do it for us this morning. Back this afternoon to tell you what is trending, and we will talk to y'all then. Bye.
Bye.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.